If you would open your Bibles, we have two New Testament readings. The first out of John, chapter 14, verses 23 through 29. Jesus answered him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and he will come to live with him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give it to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced, because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe." And then if you would turn to Acts chapter 16, starting in verse 9. "And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, 'Come over to Macedonia and help us.' And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So, setting sail from Troas, we made a direct voyage to Samothrace, and the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia, and a Roman colony. We remained in this city some days, and on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to the riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer. And we sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. And after she was baptized, and her household as well, she urged us, saying, 'If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay.' And she prevailed upon us." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I love that story of Lydia. I'm going to kind of paint a picture for you, a little bit of who she was. Lydia, from that little bit of text, we learn that Lydia is a force to be contended with. She was very wealthy, dealing in purple fabrics. This was a very wealthy job to do. She was a businesswoman. She worshiped God, which means she feared God. And it's interesting that here she is, she has gone out to take some time apart from her business to set aside to worship the Lord. And yet, something has happened. Now, the Israel trip has a great story where they had to travel, a couple thousand miles to run into people from McPherson, right? That's pretty fun. So if you haven't heard that story yet, ask some Israel folks what exactly happened there. Well, that's very in keeping with what happens in the Bible a lot. Sometimes people have to travel a bit to run into each other. And that's what was happening here. So you have Lydia, this woman who is Roman, who is wealthy, who is a businesswoman, who has gone out to pray and to worship the Lord, and up comes Paul. Now, do you guys know who some of Paul's traveling companions were? Because it wasn't just Paul. I'm waiting on my son to say something. Paul and Silas. We have Paul. We have Silas. we have Timothy. And fun thing here, just a little side note, we also have the author of Acts himself. And the reason we know that is because Luke says we. Right? So we have these four men who are following a vision. Now, this is fun. If you look a little earlier in the text, they were prevented from going places they wanted to go by the Holy Spirit. God said no. And they get this vision of this man from Macedonia saying, come and speak to us. Followed up by a story of a woman who is Roman. This is beautiful. This is a beautiful story of the way God calls us and moves us. So Lydia is there. One other aspect of her character, why we know she is a force to be reckoned with, is because she prevailed upon these four men, and they stayed with her. If you have found me faithful, come and stay with me. And she prevailed upon us. So Lydia, who was a God-fearer, who was worshiping the Lord, meets Paul and his traveling companions, and the result is her entire household gets baptized. Now, this happens a lot in Scripture, where you have households being baptized. And that's what happened in Lydia's case. So you have these men who have come and are speaking with the people who are worshiping. I'm trying to drill this in because I want you to understand something. These people are worshiping. And the Lord opened Lydia's heart. And she was changed. And the reason that is so important for us, and it's important for everybody, is when we fail to be obedient to the Lord, it's not that we're missing out on salvation necessarily. We're missing out on joy. And that is the interesting thing about this text. Because Paul had to have followed up on that vision. That was a move of obedience on his part. All right, we were going to go here. The Holy Spirit's telling us no. I'm getting this vision. We're going to go here. That is a move of obedience. Lydia had her life together. She wasn't suffering. She wasn't, you know, on the outskirts of society. She wasn't cast off and desperately needing Christ. But her heart was open. And then there was this response of obedience for baptism. And it's this joy that flows out of this obedience. We don't like the word obedience anymore. Have you noticed that? We don't like it. I think it got misappropriated in our culture. I think it got misused, and it was used to harm, hurt, and abuse people. And so we don't use it anymore. But Christ is calling us to a life of love, and a life of love lived out is a life of obedience. And that's what we see specifically here in this passage. And that's what we see all over the New Testament in different instances where the Holy Spirit has said, don't do this, do this. Go here. Speak to this person. I would love to know the full impact of this story. Because when you have an entire household that gets baptized, you have generations that are affected. And that's the reality. From a simple act of obedience. And I love the wandering part of it. The wandering part of it. Well, I don't know. It looks like people might gather over here to pray. We're here. All right, God. What do you want us to do? Well, God's already got that figured out, you see, because he sent someone whose heart was open. And it is that we are called to, that is the lifestyle we are called to live out. We are called to have an open and an obedient heart. If we are going to follow the way of love, we have to follow the way of obedience. Again, it is not our salvation that is at stake. It is our joy that is at stake. How many of you know miserable, sad, grumpy Christians? How many of you are miserable? I hope not. But it happens, right? It happens. I can't say that I'm immune to that sort of an attitude where you feel like, oh, why? God, why? You know, it's an easy thing to fall into. And we're often astounded when we see people who are thoroughly joyous, right? You know something's different about them. I don't think I've told this story here. There is a lady that we knew at our previous home who was, I guess she was in her 80s, I suspect. But she just kind of sparkled, you know, she had that joyous twinkle about her life. And you might wonder or think or suspect that she had had an easy life. Ha, ha, ha. No, she'd had an obedient life. And I remember one day after church, she was talking about her neighbors, her next door neighbors, cooking meth in their garage. And she said, you know, at my age, I shouldn't know what that looks like. Well, yeah, you're right. I agree with you. But the joy that was in her soul was palpable. Because she had been obedient over and over and over and over. And one thing I will tell you, an obedient life is a crazy life. It often doesn't look like what the world would expect it to look like, right? Even Paul himself was getting ready to go over into Asia. Nope, you're going this way. All right, well, now I'm here. Well, all of a sudden, whoa, now you're going there. Well, goodness, Paul. Settle down. No, because one person's obedient heart was waiting to hear the message. And so they went. And they traveled the distance that was necessary to have the conversation that resulted in the baptism of an entire household. And this is the kind of joyous expectation that we as Christians are called to live into. And I think it's the difference between a head faith and a heart faith. Now, some of us are more logical and cerebral than others of us. And this, I think, is why the church has to work together as a body. Our home would be very boring if there was only one way to think in it, right? The church would be very boring if there was only one way to think and to believe and to live out your faith. I'm not saying that logic is bad. I wouldn't have married my husband. I am saying that if we leave our faith here and we don't allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us in here, then we are who Lydia was before she had a conversation with Paul. God is offering to give us so much joy. We cannot confuse joy with happiness. We cannot confuse joy with an easy life. I think we kind of get hung up on that a little bit. You can have a joyous life and a difficult life. You can have a joyous life and still have struggles, serious struggles. And yet God is always there offering, offering, offering. Now, what does it mean? What does it mean to be obedient? That's a real question. It's not rhetorical. What do you think? Does anyone have a thought? What does it mean? Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. It is that simple. You have to listen, and then you have to follow. You have to hear, and then you have to act. Because an acted out faith is a beautifully profound faith. You remember the scripture there in John that we read? It's all about love. Well, you can't have love without obedience. It doesn't work. Yeah, I love you, God, so I'm just not going to listen to anything you had to say about anything. Or I love you, God, but that particular bit of the Christian faith is a problem for me. And God is saying, I'm trying to bring you joy. You see? We have to listen. Well, how do we listen? Because, see, Lydia had Paul. Lydia had Paul. Why do we think Paul is more profound than any of the other Christians around us? I suspect it's because, you know, he's Paul, right? We have his stories, and we hear his story, and he lived then, and Jesus showed up to him. Well, if you look around, we have a lot of stories in this room. We have people who have lived amazing lives. I suspect we have people that Jesus has shown up to. So how do we as a church become obedient? We listen to each other. We listen to each other and we pray for discernment based on what the body is saying. This is how the church works. This is a beautiful thing. I know we've mentioned the book, The Insanity of God, a couple of times. If you haven't read it, it's a profound read. But there's a story in there about a group of Christians who had to cancel a meeting because their lives were in danger. And they were going to regather, but they didn't bother telling anyone in the group where or when. And they all showed up anyhow. This is what the Holy Spirit does for his church who is listening. I don't know the answer to the Christian faith. The body of Christ knows the answer to the Christian faith. And when we come with hearts that are willing to be open, things happen. And joy is the result of that. You know, I know as a church, oftentimes we talk about the surfacey matters, right? And they're important. You know, we talk about sin and salvation, and we talk about the importance of baptism, which it's important if you haven't been baptized. That needs to be mentioned. Baptism's important. We talk about the importance of communion and the importance of gathering together. But how do we listen to receive the joy and be obedient to that response? And I am sure many of us at points in our life have seen this truth, right? Because there are times in our lives where we are obedient, individually and communally as a church. And we see the joy. And then there are other times where we're like, yeah, well, maybe not today. I just wonder, what would have happened if Paul said, no, I really want to go into Asia. I don't understand what you're saying, Lord. The people in Asia need you. What if he had said no? Paul wouldn't have lost his salvation. He would have missed out on joy. That's all. And as he travels along, somewhere he picks up Luke. If Paul had gone to Asia, we might not have had the book of Acts. Do you wonder what our lives would be like if we didn't listen? Or how much different our lives would be if we chose to on a daily, every morning conversation with the Lord? Today I am going to listen. Help me obey. How much joy we reap out of that simple action of obedience. And I know some of you have stories where this has been the reality, where you have seen beautiful things happen because of an obedient action. And it's almost like throwing a pebble in a lake. You know, you toss that pebble in the lake and you see the ripples. Well, sometimes we don't see the ripples. And yet they are profound. We don't always have to know. Paul had no idea we were going to be sitting here talking about he and a conversation he had with a woman. And just this conversation, one story in a midst of an ocean of stories of obedience. Obedience, you see, is love acted out. When Christ says, love the people around you, we love the people around us. This is why we pray this prayer of confession. If you want to take a look at it. It's interesting how we think about confession sometimes. This is, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. What are those things we have left undone? Every single human being has left things undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. Do we ever have divided hearts? You know, God, I would really, really love to be obedient to you right now, but maybe tomorrow. It's hard. Oh, that's the other thing. See, joy does not mean ease. Joy is often hard. It's the hard things in life. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. Who is our neighbor? Right? Lord, who is my neighbor? Who do you see? And this is why it's important to humbly repent. See, we have to have that action of repentance daily, because the holiness that God is calling us to is so much bigger. And we can always, always, always grow into it. By the way, this is not a guilt issue. Repentance is not guilt. Repentance is turning and following Christ. I love the fact that we have churches, we have people who have varying opinions. I love the fact that we can love each other through differences. That is the power of the Christian faith. What did Paul have in common with Lydia? Not much. And yet her heart responded to the movement of the Holy Spirit. And she was baptized and she said, all right, you men, come on. Come on. So there's a few things we need to learn from this, I think. One of them is really, really, really important. Just because you know someone is worshiping the Lord does not mean that you should not share with them. We often kind of think in our minds, and this is really not healthy, so if you do this, stop it. You know, those people over there don't know Christ. That is not okay. That is not okay. We don't know what the Holy Spirit is doing in people's lives, but we always need to be willing and open to share. And we are open and willing to share through the prompting of the Holy Spirit. I had a conversation recently with one of my kids. I don't know. I'm sure if I thought about it, I would know. But one of them, about the importance of being open and honest with who you are with the people around you. Now, I'm going to have different conversations with different people depending on who that person is. I'm going to share my love of Christ with people differently depending on who that person is. That does not make me duplicitous. That does not make you duplicitous. That makes you intelligent, right? Because people approach Christ differently. We don't know the words that Paul used specifically when he was speaking with Lydia, but he listened to the Holy Spirit, and we can too. When we interact with people, we can listen to the Holy Spirit, and we can say what the Holy Spirit puts on our hearts. It might feel awkward for us at first, but I guarantee you the person who is listening will not find it awkward. Because they're going to sit there and think, how did this person know I needed this today? Well, that's what God does. He pulls us. He woos us. He loves us, right? We don't serve this hate-filled, vindictive God. We serve one who loves us and who is chasing after us and who will send people to us and who will also send us for love. Through obedience to change the world. I mean, that's really the power of the Christian message. It really is. Lydia had her life pretty much together, from what we can tell, by Western standards. She was powerful, she was wealthy, and she was on vacation. That's pretty good. But the Holy Spirit showed up, and her life was changed, and her household was changed because Paul had a vision. I would encourage every single one of you to seek a vision. You know, God still does that. That didn't die out. It didn't stop. You know, God does not change. Anyone who's gone overseas knows that to be true. But you know, it happens here in this country too. It's just, I think we're a little reticent to talk about it. Because if we say, you know, the Lord showed up to me in my bedroom two nights ago, McPherson Hospital might get a phone call. You know, we're reticent to speak about visions from the Lord, but he still does it. And the Holy Spirit still warms hearts. Still happens. And we still have people like Lydia in the world who are worshiping God and look like they have their life together, but really just want someone to speak to them. This is exciting business. It's profound business. And it is the business of all believers. It's your business. It's my business. Yeah, we're going to mess it up. That's life. We're going to fail. That's not, by the way, judgment from God when you fail. That's God saying, all right, get up, try again. Get up, try again. I'm grateful that we have stories from people like Paul. And I'm grateful that those stories have continued on historically, because how many of you would be here or not be here? I mean, why are you even here? I guarantee you it is not my profound preaching. Why are you even here? Who listened and cared for you? Who brought you to the faith? It's interesting to me. I got posed that question one time it was not kind. I was asked to talk about my call to ministry in front of a fairly large group quite suddenly, saying, who impacted you? Well, you know, I think had I had time to think about it, I wouldn't have answered as well. But when someone just springs it on you and you're standing and you have handed a microphone and there's people who impacted your call to ministry? I didn't even hesitate. It was so second nature. The man's name was Tirko Tano. And he was a neighbor to my grandmother in South Georgia, and he was Finnish. And I probably saw him twice a year, maybe once a year growing up. He was a huge man. He was an underwater welder, among other things. I've got fantastic stories if you ever want to hear. What did that man do that affected me so much? Because I can tell you, and that's a total different ballgame, but my call to ministry was a struggle. But when I was probably 10 years old, and someone in my family had told him that I wanted to be a minister when I grew up, I remember him walking past me, putting his hand on my head, leaning down. He was probably 6'5", and to a little girl, that was a huge man. He leaned down, and he called me Pamela, because everyone did back then. He said, "Pamela, that is a great calling, and do not let anyone ever take it from you." That's all he said. He probably had no memory of saying that 3 years later. That was the most powerful impact anyone had on me in my journey. We don't know what Paul said to Lydia, but he said something that impacted her tremendously. We won't always know our own impact, but I guarantee you there are people out there who say things like this about each of you when you are obedient to the call of the Holy Spirit. So my wish and my hope and my encouragement is that each morning when you get up, you can silence yourself and say, "Lord, I am listening. Help me be obedient." Every day, "Lord, I am listening. Help me be obedient." And it's going to be those simple little daily actions that have the profound effect. You might not ever know until you are residing in glory. That's something to look forward to. That's a powerful way to live your Christian life. Daily, daily, daily. That's all Paul did. That's all he did. That's all Christ calls us to do. Listen and be obedient. You become a profound blessing in the life of your community, in the life of your church. You become the answer to someone else's prayer. And that is my prayer for each of you. And that is my prayer for this congregation. Amen.